We're going to start with verse number 1 in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. It says this, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, surely this was also vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what doth it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. We'll stop there for a moment. What we see here is Solomon. Solomon struggles with many of the same things that we in our day struggle with. It's actually a brilliant thing that God put this in the Bible, because I'm not sure if everybody in his day had the opportunity to go after the things that Solomon went after. But in our day, many of us do. I think that many in his time, they were just struggling to meet day-to-day things. They weren't really after all the pleasures of life. And Solomon actually gives a list. In the next few verses, we'll see some of those things. He gives a list that just basically ticks off every single one of the things, or most of the things, that we as people today in our culture, in our age, in our country, that we go after. And we get a glimpse as to what the end result is from somebody who's obtained the things that we seek. You hear that? We get a glimpse of someone who's tasted and obtained the things that we seek. And we get to hear what he thinks of it after he's obtained those things. This will make a little more sense in a few verses. Let's look at verse number 4. I made my works great. I built myself houses, and I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants, and I had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem, and also my wisdom remained with me. We'll stop there again. What we see here is Solomon was a man who seemed discontent. He seemed to always want something more. He was always chasing after something else. Even though he had, it's what seemed like, everything imaginable, he was not content. And so he searched and he searched and he went from one thing to the next thing, and he was never content with what he had. He seemed to me, if I would guess, that he was the kind of guy that had one project going and another project in his mind and maybe another one that's almost complete. He just seemed to be doing something all the time. He was busy, trying to satisfy that discontent that was in his heart, and he was looking to all the things that this world can offer to do that. We see his list here. It's like our list. We have lists of our own, even if we don't write them down. They're in our, I'm sure that we will find something that matches with our desire as we look through the things that Solomon looked through. He starts out by saying, I made houses, and I made orchards, and I made all these things. He wants things. He just has all kinds of things, and this is what we search after too. We think things are going to make us happy and make us content, and so we go after all these things in life. Houses, cars, the latest gadgets, one after another, and we obtain them. And then after we obtain them, we enjoy them for a while, but then after a while, they don't satisfy. And so Solomon keeps going, and he keeps going, and he keeps doing, and he keeps having more. And after the one thing, he wants something else. And after that thing, he wants something else. And it doesn't stop. He wants more and more and more. This is the way our appetite is. When we were first married, I mean, we had a little 20-inch TV screen. Come on! No one has a 20-inch TV. Even the kids in their little bedroom don't have a 20-inch TV screen. Now it's 40 and 50 and 60, and what's coming is even bigger than that. You could look it up. 4K TV is coming. OLED TV is coming. It's going to double the resolution of what we have today. Can't even think of it. Because man is never satisfied with what he has. He wants more and more and more things. This is just one example of many that we could choose from. More things, but they never satisfied. And then he goes on. And he says he made gardens. And we too, we love beauty. And So we want to be around beautiful things. We like to be in nature, and we like to be outside, or homes by the ocean, or homes with a mountain view, or homes. We just love beauty. And he says, I wanted that too. And so he went after that. He said, okay, I'm going to make myself beautiful gardens. I'm going to do all these things. And people go after the same exact things in our day and age. It's really amazing that God put this in the Bible to show us what the end result of it is. He says he had servants of all kinds. Everybody wants somebody else to do stuff for them. Everybody wants that power. Everybody wants that ability. Few of us have that ability, but most people want it. If they were able, most people would do that. So Solomon even exceeds what most of us have. Thing after thing after thing that he has. He even says in verse number 8, he says he achieves, he had silver and gold and special treasures of the kings. We might not have special treasures of the kings, but many of us like to just have little collect things that we collect. We collect this, and then we collect that, and we collect this, and once we obtain something, we look through the magazines, we look through the internet, we look through all kinds of sources, and then we obtain, and then we think, okay, it's going to bring us happy, and it comes, and we look at the shiny thing, and we say, oh yeah, it's really nice, but then it goes on the wall, or it goes in the garage, or it goes in one of our rooms, and then a week later, we say, well, what's the next thing? It's natural, it's normal. This is what happens. We're in a society that has many of the opportunities that Solomon had. This is what happens. He goes on to say that he was great and he excelled more than all who were before him. Be the top in your field. Some of us have that desire. It's not about the things and it's not about all the stuff that we have, but it's about just being good at what you do. The career is everything. Got to be number one in my career. Got to be number one in whatever I... Got to be number one in the sport that I play. Got to be number one in the field. Got to be number one in my hobby. Got to be number one. And he said, I achieved all that. I was great in what I did. Nobody else excelled more than me. He had it. He was on top. He had all the money. He had money that was unbelievable. The money that was expended just on the temple, unbelievable. Not even for himself. He had all kinds of money. He had all kinds of wives. He had all kinds of possessions, all kinds of homes. He had all kinds of power, all kinds of servants, everything that everyone would want. Didn't necessarily solve his problem. He had wisdom and knowledge. People like to learn. People like to study. I'm around people most of the day that just like to study things. They just like to acquire knowledge. Even the silly little things. I've seen people spend hours, and even I've done that, spend hours just trying to figure out little things that are totally meaningless, it seems. A bit and a bite, that why is it doing this? And then after a while, you get this sense of accomplishment. Wow, I figured out how one bite of a word in a computer program works, and at the end of the day, what does it matter? We spend hours doing this. It's so common. Because we love knowledge, and we love to learn, and we love to acquire those things. And Solomon, I excelled in wisdom beyond all those that were around me. He had the same list that many of us have too. We all are searching for something. There's this hole that's in us that needs to be filled, and it can only be filled by God, but yet we try and fill it with so many other things. And so he continues his search. And then in verse 10, we'll read from there, it says, "Whatever my eyes desired, I didn't keep them. I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hand had done, and all the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." Here we have a man who was looking to try and get many of the things that we have not yet obtained. And he obtained them. He had them. And he sums it up by saying, all of it, everything, all that I did, it's like grasping for the wind. He's saying it's like trying to get something that can't be obtained. I was going after something that I couldn't get my hands on, because there's that place in our heart which says there is something missing, and it can only be filled by a relationship with God. And if we try and obtain it any other way, it's like grasping for the wind. You try and hold on, and yes, it's temporary. And yes, it might make you feel good for a moment. And yes, it might satisfy you. And yes, it might distract you for a moment. But in the end, it's just grasping for the wind. You can't obtain. And Solomon says, I had it. I had it. I had it all. I know what it is. I know what it's like. And you could keep going, but it ain't going to satisfy you. This is what he's telling me. It's like grasping for the wind. And he's essentially telling us, your end result is not going to be what you want. He says, I know what you want. I had that desire myself. And you could keep going, but I'm going to tell you what's at the end of it. What's at the end of it is you're still not going to be satisfied. You're still not going to be satisfied. So he goes on. Verse number 12, "Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly." He's going after just fun things. Some people are all about being fun. I just like fun. I want fun. I want to be entertained. He even says, I have singers and musicians and all entertainment. We know that our society is like addicted to entertainment. And entertainment, the movies and television and everything, all entertainment. And people go to movies to try and escape for a couple of hours. Try and get away for a couple of hours. Get lost in another world for a couple of hours. But at the end, they come back to reality. And Solomon here too says, you know, I had the singers and I had all the things. I had all the entertainment, but it doesn't satisfy. And his list is just like our list, only he had all the power, all the wealth, all the opportunity to have whatever he wanted. And he, in fact, says, I got whatever I wanted. Whatever I desired, I had it. It was mine. And it was all grasping for wind, as he puts it. Number 19, and then we'll probably stop with the list. Number 19 says, and who knows whether he will be a wise or fool. He's talking about somebody inheriting what he does. Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. This reminds me of what people want to leave a legacy. They want to leave a heritage. They want to be known after they're gone. And he's saying, I'm going to leave all my stuff. I'm going to leave everything that I built, everything that I put together, everything that I toiled and labored. All of my legacy is going to be left to somebody. And he says, at the end, it's all vanity. It all doesn't matter. And yet people will spend their whole lives consumed with, what will I leave behind? How will I be remembered? What will my legacy be? He goes on and on and on, finding one thing after another, chasing one thing after another, chasing this and chasing that. And in the end, he says, it's all vanity. It all doesn't matter. I put my time and my effort into something that I tried to obtain in a way that it could not be obtained. And John 17:3 tells us what life is really all about. It says eternal life is found in God and knowing God. Eternal life is found in knowing God and Jesus Christ, the Son, who you've sent. This is what life is. He was looking for life. He was looking for something to satisfy. He was looking for something to fill the part in him that was missing, because there is something. If we don't have God, there's something that's missing in all of us. And he was looking at everything under the sun to fill it. And in the end result, he concludes, none of it fills. None of it satisfies. And I know many people are thinking, well, even if I had just a little, even if I just had half, I bet I could do it. Solomon's saying, I have the whole thing, and it didn't do it. I had everything, and it didn't do it. Turn over to Psalm 27, because we have an interesting contrast with David, Solomon's father. We have a very interesting contrast. Now, I am not in any way saying that any of these things are wrong. I am not in any way saying any of these things are wrong. I'm just saying if you want to fill the missing part that's in you, all of these things are not going to do it. There's desires that are in us. God put those desires in us, and we could choose to fill them with Him, or we could choose to fill them with everything else. The desire is not wrong. God put the desire in us. God put the longing in us. We get to choose where we will try and satisfy that desire. Will we satisfy it in Him, or will we satisfy it with everything else? Verse number 4 of Psalm 27 says this, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This is what David was seeking. Solomon looks like he sought everything. I want everything. I want the houses, I want the servants, I want the boats, I want the camels, I want the gold-filled rooms, I want all of it. I want the singers, I want the musicians, I want everything my heart could desire. I want that. And David says, I want one thing. David says, I want one thing. I want the one thing that's going to satisfy my soul. I want the one thing that's going to cause me not to need all the rest. And so David passed on to Solomon many, many good things. But Solomon didn't seem to get this, because Solomon wanted everything else as well. He wanted everything else as well. And David says, I want one thing. And that's all I need is one thing. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to behold His beauty. Because if you get to that place where you begin to realize the beauty of the Lord, His love for you and how beautiful it is, the beauty of His sacrifice, the beauty of His love, you will be satisfied and you will not have need of anything else. He's telling us, this is the one thing that you need. You don't need all the other things. They're okay if you want them, but if they replace what you seek after to find in God, it will never work. They're not wrong. I hope you hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything is wrong, but if it replaces your quest to find God, and this is where you put your hope, and this is where you put your all your time and effort, it won't satisfy. You can have everything. You can have your collections. You could have everything. You could have so much money that you can't even spend it, because that's essentially what Solomon had. So much money that it couldn't even possibly be spent. Maybe someday we'll look at what he did in building the temple. Incredible. So much gold, so much silver. Impossible even to put our minds around what he put into the Holy of Holies. Incredible. But one thing seemed to be missing, and that's the one thing that David sought after. That's the one thing that David sought after, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to behold His beauty, to inquire at His temple. If you look through the life of David, one thing is missing. I don't see it too often. I don't hear it too often. The one thing that's missing is David is never saying, "I wish I were king. I wish I had bigger houses. I wish I had all this stuff. I wish I," you never hear it. Even though he was promised to be king, you never hear him saying, "Man, where's my kingdom? Where is it? Why isn't it happening?" But the one thing that you hear all the time from David is, "I'm seeking the Lord. I'm seeking the Lord. Yes, I got problems, but I'm seeking God. Yes, I got problems." He knew he had problems. He wasn't oblivious to them. He didn't ignore them. If you read through the Psalms, you hear him say over and over, "I got problems. I got enemies. I got things that are crushing all around me." And all that stuff, he never wishes for a bigger army. He never wishes for more artillery and more things. He says, "I need God. I need God. That's the one thing that I need." That's the one thing that he's looking for. We can fill our search with God, or we could fill it with other things. Many of us will labor and we'll put so much time and so much effort into all the other things that Solomon put into. The list seems to go on. And so many of us put so much of our resources, so much of our time, so much of our money into all those things. I believe God is just asking us today, in all those pursuits that we have you gotten peace? I believe God is asking us today, in all the pursuits of everything that you could do, has it gotten you peace? Has it gotten you joy? Has it gotten you closer to God? Has it gotten you the thing that satisfies your soul? I believe that's the question God poses to us today. You go after so many things. Has it gotten you what you want? Or are you still grasping? Are you still reaching forward? Are you still trying to obtain the next thing? Are you still grasping at the wind, as Solomon puts it? I believe the words of Solomon scream out to us. And they say, You're chasing after what I already obtained. You're chasing after something that I already had. I had it in my hand, and I had it in my hand with abundance, and I could have whatever I want. I had it. It was there. It was in my grasp. I had all the wives. I had all the money. I had everything. Money just kept coming into Solomon. The Bible tells us that year after year, people would just give him gold. And I mean, an immense amount of gold. I think it was, if I remember right, it's somewhere around 600 and some talents of gold would just come into him. Huh? 600 times 70, 75 pounds is a talent. So 600 times 75 pounds of gold a year would come into him. Didn't satisfy. All vanity. He says, I'm a man who obtained what we want. I'm a man who had what we seek. It's kind of like he gives us a glimpse of the end of the book. He gives us a glimpse of the end result of what we so often so desire. And he says, it's not going to satisfy you. You're just going to keep going and going and going. It reminds me of sometimes you'll hear stories about a kid who's in school and he's just so smart that he's bored. I know it was you, right? And you're just so smart that you're bored in school. Because you're not learning anything, you're not being stimulated, and so you just keep going, you're bored. And this is the way Solomon looks to me. He's like, I'm bored with this, and I get bored with that, and I get bored with this, and it doesn't matter to me. And we could learn from a man who's been where often we want to go. And he tells us, it doesn't satisfy. But David corrects and adjusts everything, and he says, one thing does satisfy, one thing, and one thing only, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to behold his beauty, and to inquire in his temple. He says, put all your effort into this. Put all your effort into the one thing. Don't put all your effort into the many. Solomon is saying, don't put all your effort into the many. David says, put all your effort into the one. It's our choice. It's what we will choose. We get to decide what we do with our 24 hours a day, what we get to do with our 7 days a week. We get to decide. And David tells us, one thing and one thing only is what I desired. David had a kingdom. David had the ability to do all these things. David, out of his special treasure of the king, said he gave 3,000 talents of gold, 3,000 times 75 pounds. That's an immense amount of money. He had all the stuff too, but he said, one thing I desire. I don't desire all that. I desire God, and I desire more of him. One thing and one thing only will satisfy. One thing and one thing only. May we be people of that one thing. The name of God be praised. Amen.